Calling all small firm architects. It's time to tap into your full potential with Entree Architects Context and Clarity, where inspiration meets innovation. Hey, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my two favorite co-hosts, Jeff Eccles and Katie Kangas, as they bring together authors, experts, and thought leaders for electric conversations with entrepreneur architects around the globe. It's not just a podcast. It's a community where dreams meet action.
There is a simple equation there. And what for me, what that did, just doing that basic calculation, was it allowed me to compare what I had actually saved in my retirement accounts to what I thought a possible projected annual spend might be.
Artists are temperamental, so beautiful design is going to be a priority. When the job is done, we're going to actually need to live in the house, not live with the person who designed it. And so for me, the artistic skill, the architectural skill is most important. And so I would say like that would be 60% of it, if not more.
Gain insights to build a successful practice. Subscribe, engage, and let's redefine your future together. Join the Context and Clarity community, where every conversation adds to your blueprint for success. One of the greatest benefits you receive from being an active member here at the Entree Architect community is that we keep you focused on the things that matter most. We know you're busy because we're small firm architects too. Back at the beginning of the year, during the first trimester of 2019, we taught you all about financial management and showed you the path to profitability at the Entree Architect Profit Workshop. And we just wrapped up our second trimester where we taught you all about branding and marketing through storytelling at the Build Your Brand Workshop. Well, here we are at the final trimester of the year. Yes, I can't believe we're here already, the final trimester of the year. You have your financial management in order, and you have your brand story in place. Well, now during these final months of the year, it's time to focus on process. During this final trimester of the year here at Entree Architect, we will be focusing on planning and productivity. What needs to happen for you to make 2020 your best year ever? And how specifically will you execute and get it all done? We know you're busy. So to kick off trimester three, and to help you get focused on what needs to be done now during these final months of the year, I'll be hosting a free webinar on planning. I will share a step-by-step process for developing a simple-to-follow plan for success and prepare you for the next year. Success doesn't just happen all by itself. It takes planning, it takes action, and it takes consistent discipline. And I will show you how to make that happen in 2020 at your small firm. Register now for the Planning for Small Firm Architects webinar at entrearchitect.com/free webinar. That's entrearchitect.com/free webinar. Let's get this done so you can have the best year ever in 2020. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast, where each week I speak with inspiring, passionate people who share their knowledge and expertise, all to help you build a better business as a small firm entrepreneur architect. This is episode 287, and this week, we're focused on time. And you should be too. At this episode of Entree Architect Podcast, a time tracking strategy for small firm architects with CPA Jerry Anderson. This episode of Entree Architect Podcast is supported by our platform sponsors, RCAT, the online resource delivering quality building material information, CAD details, BIM specifications, and so much more at rcat.com. FreshBooks, the cloud-based accounting software that makes running your small firm easy, fast, and secure. Spend less time on accounting and more time doing the work you love. And Gusto, easy online payroll, benefits, and HR built for the modern small business. Jerry Anderson, welcome to Entree Architect Podcast.
Thank you, Mark.
It's great to have you here. I can't wait to have this conversation. You've been in the Entree Architect membership, contributing there occasionally with some of our mastermind groups. have been sharing tons of valuable information. And so I can't wait for you to share some of that knowledge here today at Entree Architect Podcast. Before we get into that, I want to introduce you, talk a little bit about who you are. As a management scientist, a CPA, and an entrepreneur, Jerry has over 30 years of experience both in the public and private sector with various companies, including UPS, Dell, Ryder, GM, and Walmart, just to name a few. During the last 14 years, he's started and grown his own practice. His passion is helping us, small and mid-sized architecture, engineering, and construction firms, optimize their back office operations and improve their profitability through process automation. I love that word, automation, process automation, technology integration, and best practices. So he's an ally to Entree Architect. He has clients all across the United States and Canada and is always researching and finding new ways to help firms and their owners realize their goals and dreams. So Jerry, you've done a great job sharing your knowledge with some of the profit groups inside the masterminds. I can't wait to have a conversation about some financial things here and how we can get moving forward. Before we get into that, though, I want to know more about you. I wanted to learn your origin story. So go back to where you discovered your passion for what you're doing today and share that story to where you are today.
Sure. Thank you, Mark. So I think probably the passion, at the time I found my passion was way back in 2002, when after working in corporate America for 14 years, I just got tired of the hierarchies, the politics, the demands, the travel. And I said, you know what, I really want to, I love giving advice internally in all these companies. And I had a pretty good reputation within Dell and the other companies I worked at. But in 2002, was really when I signed on with a small consulting firm called TKMC, and they started training me in all things consulting in terms of how to be a trusted advisor. And then since then, I kept on growing and expanding and learning from those partners who used to be with Ernst & Young for a number of years before they branched out and started their own firm, which was TKMC. And then in 2004, after Christmas, I decided to launch my own because I wanted to really focus on process improvement for the small mid market, like architects and engineers from, you know, $200,000 to $300,000 in revenue up to $10 million, because those firms need the same systems and the same processes and the same methodologies that the big multinationals have perfected, but they need to put it, get it at a price point that they can afford and leverage, because the cost of doing running your back office is not a value add to the client and on a day-to-day basis. They just expect it to be a good back office.
Right.
Well, so that's how I got my passion.
And very often it's not, right? You know, mm-hmm. Our community of architects, we became architects because we wanted to design architecture. And mm-hmm. many of us become surprised when we realize we have to run a business in order to do that. And so you and your services are very needed in our profession. So thank you for serving our community.
Oh, well, thank you. I love the creativity of all architects, and it just pains me when I see the frustrations they have with the accounting, the filings, sort of the paperwork, and it pulls them away from their passion of designing incredibly creative and beautiful solutions for clients that give them, you know, the clients are ecstatic. Like some of the architects we work for, if we see their work and we see the glowing praise that their clients give them, because it's changes their life. Like architects change the world literally. But they get frustrated when their back office doesn't perform, and it affects their creativity, I think.
Yeah, 100%. I totally agree with you. That's one of the mantras I have throughout the platform, and I actually say it at the end of every podcast, is that you have to build a better business in order to be a better architect. And that sounds a little kitschy and, you know, frilly, but that's the truth. If you don't build the business that supports your creativity, you can't be as creative as you want to be.
That's correct. You're absolutely right, Mark. You've got to, and the good thing about today is the technology is so incredibly good, is building the back office is a minor cost that you just need to invest in order for you can then focus on your passion, which is architecture and serving clients. So it's in the last 10 to 15, 10 years, especially with the rise of the cloud and those items, there's a lot of tools out there for architects to use to really build their business so then they can focus on their passion.
How did you choose architects? And, you know, what inspired you to come find us?
Well, originally we, as an accounting firm and a consulting firm, we had trouble tracking our time. And so I searched up and down, and in 2007, I found a little program called BillQuick, which also had ArchiOffice.
Yep.
And I said, okay, let me start using this. And then we've been using BillQuick and all their tools ever since 2007. And we've seen every iteration from desktop now to their cloud solutions. But we really started to learn because BillQuick, they'd phone us up as a small CPA and advisory firm and say, hey, can you help this client out because they have a problem with their accounting? And I'm like, sure, okay. So we'd log in using LogMeIn or TeamViewer. We'd fix all their problems, and then the client would be like, wow, thank you for getting BillQuick and QuickBooks all working. Can you keep on doing it for me? And then after time, we just had more architects and engineers. The same problems appeared in their back office where they had a lot of paperwork. They had to track their costs. They had to make sure that they were billing their time or for their services and making sure they're making money at a rate that, you know, creates wealth for them and a good retirement at the end of it.
Yeah. And allows us to continue doing what we want to do. So you have experience with architects and how we work. It's sort of many of us, we don't want to be business people, but we know we have to be. This community, Entree Architect, we are entrepreneurs. We understand that we need to do it, so we are doing it. Some of us have discovered that we actually like it, because if you look at it from a design problem that you need to solve, then it sort of becomes a much easier thing. If you look at it sort of as a game and the money is just part of the game, that's a good way to sort of shift your mindset, you know, to be more focused on it so you could be more successful. And financial management is a really big topic, right? We don't mm-hmm. want to cover the entire topic of financial management. We'd be here for the next month. And we can have you come back to share some of those other things. But if there was one thing that we can talk about in the next half hour that potentially could change the way architects are practicing architecture and be more successful at it, what would you suggest that architects should focus on right now, today, after they listen to this episode?
The number one thing, Mark, is tracking time. Over working with professional service firms, the architects, the engineers, the construction firms, the number one thing that you have to really focus on for the back office, but also for building a business, is tracking your time. You can get more money, you can get more services, but everyone loses time as they go forward because they can't get it back. So the one piece of advice I always first start out with is you must start tracking your time and understanding where you're spending it.
What if, and this is, I'm going to ask a bunch of questions here that I've heard other architects ask. And so I want to make sure that we get those out there so you can respond to them. But I've heard architects who are sole practitioners, and a very large, maybe even a majority of the listeners who are listening are sole practitioners. Some of them say, well, I don't need the track time because it's just me. So what do you say to the sole practitioner who doesn't want to spend the time tracking their time?
You're leaving a lot on the table in terms of maximizing what you can get out of your time. Like if quite often we see when we start doing these time analysis, and I learned this when I was working for UPS in industrial engineering, is that when you start analyzing the blocks of time, you're finding where you're spending your hours and whether or not it's doing a lot of value add, i.e., your passion, or a lot of what I call busy work or paperwork that is not adding value or building your business. And just those two buckets of saying, is it, you know, the hours that you spend, is it value added or non-value added, is the first simple question you need to ask every day, is saying, okay, the amount of time I spent today, was it working on building the business and adding value, or was it just a cost or a, you know, busyness just to keep the lights on? Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And you referenced a time analysis. Is that a specific exercise that listeners could actually go through to sort of discover how they're spending their time?
Yeah, absolutely. It simply is to even start is I usually say start off with just classifying blocks of time, either hours or mornings or afternoons or however how you want to tackle the chunks. And then just taking a calendar or I use Excel quite a bit, but simply identifying where they're spending their time, those every day. Are they spending on creativity? Are they spending on generating new business through clients or proposals? Are they actually doing the work and completing the value add of what they got hired for? Or are they doing, like I say, the paperwork, the filing of the state taxes or the local taxes, filing of their the paperwork for payroll, for paying suppliers, paying subcontractors? Just understanding where they're spending the blocks of time very first on a regular basis will allow them to really get some knowledge of, what they're spending the equivalent of their money on.
So is that sort of an intensive time tracking process that you would go through like for a few days to sort of see specifically every hour where that hour is going?
Yeah, usually we like a minimum you want to do 5 days. Ideally, you'd want to do 2 or 3 weeks. So you would start on a Monday, you would finish on a Friday, make sure you document your blocks of time based on, the 2 or 3 buckets you want to set up, and those can be easily defined with your coach, your advisor, or Mark, you have some good materials on where you want people need to invest their time on. And then just break it up. And then over the next, those 2 weeks, just say, okay, of those hourly or morning, afternoon time slots, where do they spend in those 3 buckets? And that's it. And it should be no more than maybe a 5-minute exercise every day, maybe 20 minutes at the end of every week tops. And then they got some data. They can start understanding what's going on in their practice.
Yeah, I did that. Sense? Yeah, absolutely. I did that a couple of years ago, 2 years ago. And I think I published on it either through the podcast or on the blog. Excuse me. It was so eye opening. It shifted my mindset because I did it for the entire day from wake to sleep. So I woke up and I tracked my time all day long, all the way until I went back to bed that night. And I did it for a week. And for 7 days. And it was amazing how much time I was wasting, right? Because when you're tracking every minute of your day, you have to be honest with yourself. You have to look at what you're actually doing. And being someone who has a very integrated life with my family and my firm, they mesh constantly. They're overlapping throughout the day intentionally and strategically, that those hours are critical. And the minutes are critical. And when you add up all the time that you wasted on things that really don't matter, that are not value added to your life, whether it's business or your life, it really opens your eyes and makes you realize that you really need to focus on what you're doing and when you're doing it. And by tracking your time, it gives you the data to look back to see how you're doing and allows you to plan for the future. And so, I wanted to bring that up because I think that in order to get to where we want to go with tracking time, there's a mindset shift that we need to make, that it's important, even if you're a sole practitioner, even if you're not working hourly, because that's another response that I get from architects. Well, I don't work hourly. Why do I need to track my time? I just get the job done and I bill for it and I get paid and, I'm profitable. But how do you really know whether you're profitable, right? Because we sell time. Steve Wintner has said this over and over again on the podcast, in the membership. Steve's very active in the membership. He's done profit workshops with me. It's all about the time. Everything we do, every dollar we spend, every dollar we earn is based on time. Whether you're billing it out as an hourly fee or not, it's all based on your time. And so this idea that Jerry's presenting, that time is the number one most important thing you should be doing, is tracking your time, is really important. So I'm hoping that you're hearing me. You with the earbuds in your ears, that you're hearing me, that this is important. This is something that you should be spending time on. And it doesn't take a lot of time, right, Jerry? It doesn't take
no,
a lot
no,
of time.
No.
So can you,
go ahead. Well, I was going to say Steve Wintner we worked with, and he's an awesome, he's got wisdom that blows me away. And we've just worked on a little bit on terms of getting his system implemented and the reporting done. And once we captured all the data and gave it to him, and I think he was on a couple of your shows, Mark, is, and even in a mastermind group, is how he kind of interpreted that time and provided incredible advice was amazing, just on, you know, a week worth or 2 weeks of data.
Yeah.
And I think you're bang on, is time is actually the most, other than, you know, building creative solutions, is time is actually what you're selling.
Yeah.
As an architect.
Yeah. And that takes a mindset, because a lot of us think that we're selling ideas, or that we're selling, you know, drawings, or we're selling solutions. Yes, we're doing all that. But if you go one step further, what is behind all of those ideas and solutions? It's the time that it takes to do that. And so by tracking the time and understanding the cost of each one of those hours, you can determine how to build a financial management system, and you can be a profitable firm.
Oh, extremely profitable. Like the stats are, you know, if you run a really profitable firm, especially as a sole practitioner, you take 35% to 45% bottom line into your pocket before tax. And if you got a good CPA tax planner, you can take all of it if you structure it right. But you've got to make sure you understand where you're, because time is money, as the old adage says. And a simple example is, everyone has 168 hours every week to invest, of which a third of that will go to sleep. So measly, you're eliminating 56 hours for sleep. And then you've probably got to knock off, I'd say, another 50 for personal, family, like you do. And you probably see that personally, Mark. So you lost 106 hours already of 168 hours. So you got to get basically all your work done and everything you have to do within a small practice within 62 hours.
Yeah.
And so if you got 62 hours, just like a budget, you're going to say, where do I want to spend my time that's going to maximize what I value most within my practice? And it's a first start. And I'm sure, like, what were the buckets that you kind of used to classify when you did your 7-day exercise, Mark?
Well, when I did it, I didn't do it in buckets. I literally tracked every minute, you know. And so if I walked around with a pad, and every time I shifted, and it was really intensive, it was difficult to do when I did it, because I literally noted, okay, I'm shifting from this task to this task, and I wrote down what I did and how I did it, and then how long it took, and I just made sure that every minute of my day was accounted. It's probably not the most efficient way to do it, but I wanted to make sure. Well, the idea was to see what I was doing on a 24-hour basis, you know, and to understand where that time goes.
We'll be right back to our conversation after this quick break to say thank you to our platform sponsors here at Entree Architect: RCAT, FreshBooks, and Gusto. If you work with specifications in your firm, you probably have come across outdated manufacturer specifications with confusing notes, products that no longer exist, or maybe even companies that no longer exist. Maybe you even pay for those specifications. Stop. Stop the madness. There's a better way to find manufacturer specifications for your project documentation. It's our friends at RCAT. RCAT.com. RCAT is the number one most used website for finding building product information, and it has a free library of over 1,400 up-to-date accurate specifications. RCAT's specs are written by professionals based on manufacturer data. Use RCAT's powerful search engine to find the right specifications for your project and quickly download them into multiple formats for free. Google can't do that. You don't even have to register at RCAT. Just go over to RCAT.com, that's ARCAT.com, and start building better content today. Do you remember when you started your firm? It was no small feat. It wasn't easy. It took a lot of late nights, early mornings, and maybe even the occasional all-nighter. Bottom line,
you've been insanely busy ever since. So why not make things a little bit easier? Well, our friends at FreshBooks have the solution. FreshBooks invoicing and accounting software is designed specifically for small business owners like us. It's simple, it's intuitive, and it keeps you way more organized than the dusty shoebox filled with crumpled receipts. Create and send professional-looking invoices in 30 seconds, and then get them paid 2 times faster with automated online payments. That's my favorite part of FreshBooks. File expenses even quicker and keep them perfectly organized for tax time. The best part? FreshBooks grows alongside your business, so you'll always have the tools that you need when you need them without ever having to learn the ins and outs of accounting. Join the 24 million people who've used FreshBooks. Try it for free for 30 days. It's free. No catch, no credit card. It's free for 30 days. Go check it out at entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks. That's entrearchitect.com/FreshBooks. And when you're there, let them know that we sent you, Entree Architect. Pop that into the How Did You Hear About Us section and let them know that Entree Architect sent you. Payroll and benefits are hard, especially when you're a small business. You don't have time to be an expert in things like taxes and regulations. And old school payroll providers, they just aren't built for the way that we work as small firm architects. Gusto is making payroll, benefits, and HR easy for small businesses. Modern technology does the heavy lifting, so it's easy for us to get it right. You no longer have to be a big company to get great technology, great benefits, and a great service for your team. And to help support the Entree Architect podcast, Gusto is offering our listeners an exclusive limited time deal. Sign up today and you'll get 3 months free once you run your first payroll. Just go to entrearchitect.com/gusto and claim your free 3 months of payroll processing for free 3 months at entrearchitect.com/gusto. Arcat, FreshBooks, and Gusto. Please visit our platform sponsors today and thank them. Thank them for supporting you, the Entree Architect community.
If somebody wanted to start putting together time, so you're saying the time is the most important mm-hmm. thing, and I don't have a lot of time to track my time, right? Mm-hmm. And so how does one start? How does one sort of structure this so I can start building a routine and habits of tracking this time? How what's the best way to do this?
The best way is there's a number of free time trackers that you can use, or even the phones have stopwatches, and you can start and stop and record it of how much you're spending on different activities. Or when you're working, depends on whether or not you're more paper-based or you're more digitally based. Yeah, so paper-based, basically you would just like you do, is you'd look at your watch and you would then record, okay, where am I going from task to task? I'd probably recommend from the time you start working in your office till the time you close it down for the day. And you could do it between client and admin and just say, okay, I've spent 15 minutes on this project or an hour or 2 hours, and just record it. And just on a paper-based, on a digital system, there's a number of ones you just put in your calendar, work your calendar, and just put in, okay, from this on my Outlook or Google Calendar for the day, I put in blocks of times, like little event schedules, and say, okay, I've did it from here to here, here to here on these different items. And once you get that calendar built for 5 or 7 days, that's the data you can then start analyzing. So does that make sense?
So you use a calendar and you track your time as you are spending that time on the calendar? So you're going back and putting in items for the time that you've spent on your calendar?
Yeah, you could, or you literally just drag, sort of scheduling a time between this is when I started and this is when I finished, and you block off that time in the calendar. So say you get into the office at say 8:30 or 9, and the first hour you're going through emails, admin stuff, things like that. So on the calendar, you would say, okay, create an appointment or an event for 1 hour saying, look, admin time. If you want to get more complex, you could also color code it saying, okay, that's, blue versus red. And then you just keep on filling out. So when you look at your calendar every day on a daily basis and on a weekly basis, you should have all the blocks of time.
Got it.
The one good thing about that piece is if you do have client meetings, your time's already filled in with those client meetings. So you're just filling in around the appointments you've already scheduled in your practice of where you, what else is, using that time.
And you want to do this after you've spent the time? Well, I guess it's a little bit of both, right? So some of it is planned time, and some of it is, time that you're spending and you're documenting it.
Yeah. Either way, you want to do it at the end of the day. Like I have the same problem. I get so busy and wrapped up with work that at the end of the day, I'm like, wow, I got to docket my time. I got to record where it is, because otherwise, my accounting manager will say, look, we got a bill for time, and where's all your timesheets, as well as a couple of my technicians. But also, it allows me to reflect to whether or not I'm staying with what I call the true north metrics, or the key metrics that you guys talk regularly about, Mark, on are you focused on these items in your practice regularly? And just having that end of day reflection allows them to say, okay, based on what Mark has told me through all the courses, am I focusing on these areas consistently? Does that make sense?
Yes, yes. And so once you've documented the time on your calendar, are you pulling that now and putting it on a timesheet? Because how do you use that data once it's on a calendar?
So literally, yeah, you would put it into, say, you would add up the time based on the classifications you have, and say for the week, and you can do it Monday through Friday, I spent 2 hours on this, an hour on this, an hour on that, and then sum it all up. Or you could do it based on an entire block at a time and say, look, this is what we've got to do. This is where I have a summary for where I spent all the hours of the week. But once you get that data and you summarize, you capture all the time you spent on working in your practice, then you take that data and you sit down with your coach or you analyze it and say, okay, this is what I did. It'll give you that epiphany of saying where you're spending it. And then you can start developing a plan saying, okay, how do I get rid of that non-value added time? And how do I spend on like business development, taking your marketing advice and some of your tools that you have on the site to say, making sure I'm spending on the items that are going to make me money and make it a long-term investment as opposed to busyness. Like when I first started and I was tracking my time on a regular basis, I was amazed how much I spent on, having a coffee, taking a call from a friend, going for lunch, checking email, checking Facebook, social media. And then all of a sudden I realized, wow, I need to really figure out times when I tackle those areas. And then when I block in times of actual deep work, because in today's world with everything going on, you're still going to have to, you're going to learn where through this exercise, when you're the most productive, when you're the most creative, and you'll also understand the exact periods when you also want to schedule time with your clients, because some people might say, look, I'm an afternoon person or an evening person. So I just want to go visit clients in the morning, talk to them, because it allows me to keep the interaction. And then I can go back and focus on doing the deep work of delivering what they've asked for. Others might say, look, by 12, I get up early, by 12 noon, I'm dead. So from noon until 3 o'clock, I'm just going to go talk to clients or do the stuff that is not strenuous. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that once you go through this exercise of tracking or analyzing what you're doing on a regular basis, then you can use that information to focus on the things that you want to get accomplished, right? On a daily and weekly basis. And then it will allow you to go back to your calendar and block out times and be more proactive and more intentional about what you're going to be doing during the week, which is, people ask me all the time, how do you get everything done that you do? Right. Cause I'm running a firm. I'm renovating a house. I'm running Entree Architect. In addition to, growing a team, that's one piece of it, but also very intentionally blocking out days and times during those days to do specific tasks. And being very consistent with that. And so, I have, Mondays is my planning day. I don't have any meetings on Monday. I try not to have, any sort of outside interference. And I focus Monday on planning out the rest of my week. It also gives me sort of a transition between the weekend and the work week. by doing it on Monday. And so it allows me to sort of gradually roll back into the week. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, I have specific days that I'm focused on architecture and specific days I'm focused on Entree Architect. And that has happened over time by understanding what needs to get done, how much time things take to get done, and then literally blocking them out on my calendar. So I know that this day I'm focused on this task, and I keep moving forward.
Yeah, and bang on, because you, through that time study, is you've learned where your high energy and your low energy is, but also making sure that you figure where, how you set up for yourself for success during the week. And some people might, as after they go through this exercise, saying, you know what, Friday afternoons, I want to do is an admin day. It's going into the weekend, and I just want to set up the following week on a Friday, or like you do, is on a Monday, or might be even the middle week after they get that. But they've got to capture the data. Capturing the time is crucial, because you make that investment, it'll pay off in spades later on, and it's going to be an amazing exercise.
So do you have any tools that you recommend in terms of tracking your time? Any other than using your calendar to sort of, you know, analyze the time that you have and blocking out time for, but to actually, you know, collect the number of hours that you could start using for financial management?
Well, those who use QuickBooks, if you have the desktop version and the professional services edition on the section, they have a time tracking system right in QuickBooks. I think Sage has it as well. I'd have to go back and look. T-Sheets, that just got acquired by QuickBooks, was very good. Naturally, BillQuick has also been very good, where we've set those up for numerous clients and it's worked well. I think there is one other one in the legal side called Time Slips by Sage. What I'll do is I'll send you a list, Mark, and the membership can then kind of go through and say, okay, this is the ones that I want to check out. Some are free, some are paid, but finding one that's just comfortable for their practice will be the most important.
Yeah, to make it as easy as possible to use it however you want to do it. Another tool that I've heard a lot of members are using is Harvest. Harvest, yeah. It's both desktop based and they have an app. So on a regular basis, if you're out in the field, you know, easy to just click. They have timers that you can just click. I'm starting this task now. Click it again when you're done. It stops. And a lot of them have that now. A lot of, you know, have those timer features. And so, but it's important to find the one that works best for you that you will use on a consistent basis, so you can track your time. And then do you recommend on a daily basis or twice? I know Steve recommends twice a day. Steve Winter says, track your time twice a day, once at lunch and once at the end of the day. Is that what you would recommend as well?
Yep. Steve's one of the gurus in the industry, and you know, he forgets more than I know about the business. but he is definitely right on. It's usually when you're going for lunch, it's the perfect cutoff time, or grab it and bite. If you try to leave it once, you know, at the end of the day, usually you're tired, or you're like, yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. And then that's a slippery slope to losing the data. So yes, Steve Wintner is definitely correct. Twice a day would be ideal.
Yeah. And sometimes, I mean, if you wait too long, sometimes you forget what you did, right? And, mm-hmm. and you lose the information that you could have that you're tracking. And then one other important piece is, when you're tracking project time, I would recommend, and you can talk to this as well, Jerry, is tracking whether that project time is chargeable or not chargeable, that whether it's direct or indirect, because some of it is going to end up on a bill to a client, and some of it is actually an expense to your business. And tracking them both is super important, because you want to know. That's how you're going to end up knowing whether you're profitable or not, and whether you're tracking the time that you're working on projects and whether you're going to get paid for that time or not.
Absolutely. Exactly. You're getting into some of the other topics that we also are passionate about, which is project accounting and project profitability. Like the Wintner system is phenomenal if you want to get a very all in to, you know, get a very comprehensive system. There's simpler systems out there that basically just track gross margin, but either way, the first step is actually capturing time, because that activity either will drive a billable item, so you can charge the client, or it's going to trigger an expense that you've got to pay out of your own pocket. And it's all based on the first step, which is time.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'd love to have you come back, Jerry, and talk about project accounting and get into a little bit more of the details of how to sort of set up your books and understand how to take this time that you're tracking and what to do with it. And so if you're interested, we'll have you up back for a conversation to talk about that.
Absolutely. You guys have, I love what you've been doing, Mark, and some of the stuff that you're doing is, I'm amazed, like the marketing, getting, building a great practice. My passion is just accounting and time. So if I could do anything to make that little piece of a firm pain-free, that would be fantastic. And I'll try to share anything and everything I've learned over the years to help, you know. I like small firms making lots of money because they do a lot of good for communities. And multinationals don't spend it, but I know the small guys, yeah, I love them.
Yeah.
I wish that every architect was making $1 million a year. If I could do that,
yeah,
that would make me happy.
Well, let's do it. Let's get everybody who's listening $1 million a year. Sounds good to me. We can do it.
Perfect.
It's not that hard, really. If you focus on building a business and building a profitable financial management system, you can actually do that. And so, even as a sole practitioner.
Yeah.
And so,
yes.
So you just need to start with tracking your time. Think baby steps. I know it's overwhelming. Think baby steps. Just track your time. That's all you need to do today. Just track your time. Once you get into the habit of that, then we'll go to the next step. Track your time today. Let me know on the Facebook group that you're tracking your time and that you're ready for the next step. We'll have Jerry come back and we'll talk about what to do in the next step. Sound good? All right.
Mark, thank you so much. You've been awesome. I will definitely do what I can to make sure that the architects can eliminate their accounting and back office problems so they can focus on that $1 million goal. And you were absolutely right. I've seen, quite a few actually now because of the technology. Especially the high end who are doing in some of the larger markets, but you can do it in the smaller markets as well. They take home is $1 million. I'm blown away by it. And I'm like, you want to see the smile on their faces?
That's right.
It's pretty amazing. And then the other problem they start asking about is, well, how do I stop paying taxes on this? And I'm like, well, that's a different conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we'll have you back to talk about that too. All right.
Well,
so, Jerry, before we wrap things up here, I want to ask you the question that I ask everybody. So what is one thing that a small firm architect can do today to build a better business for tomorrow?
The very one thing they can do within the next few minutes after they get off this podcast is recording their time. So this podcast, they could record that as the very first step of saying investing in my business and then start from there. So whenever they started listening to this podcast, the end of the podcast, book that into either a piece of paper on their calendar or whatever their tracking system is, and then keep on going. That's the very first step they could do that will make a huge, huge difference in their business.
Jerry's website is logiconsolutions.ca. He's up in Canada. logiconsolutions.ca. We'll have that on the show notes as well. Also active on LinkedIn and Twitter, so you can find him there as Logicon Solutions, right, Jerry?
That's great.
And just reach out to him. Go to either on social media or go to the website and say hello. Connect with him. Ask him questions. He is a friend of Entree Architect, so reach out to him. He's there for you. Jerry, this has been a fantastic conversation. I appreciate your time. I appreciate you sharing your knowledge here at Entree Architect Podcast.
Mark, thank you so much. If I can do anything else for the for the team and the members, please let me know. But it's been an absolute pleasure. And I love, as you can see, my passion. I will continue to do what I can to get more architects financially independent.
Sounds great. Thank you. Okay, that was episode 287. The link, entrearchitect.com/episode287. Share it with a friend, please. Please do that right now. Really, that's the only thing I ask. This is free every week. I do everything I can to help you become successful. The only thing I ask is for you to share this episode with a friend, entrearchitect.com/episode287.
@Jeff287. Post it on Twitter. Post it on Facebook. Tag me so I know you're doing it. Send them an email. Tap them on the shoulder. Whatever you need to do. Let's get the word out there about Entree Architect Podcast, because that's how we're growing. Thank you very much. And don't forget to register for my free webinar, Planning for Small Firm Architects, and we'll get you ready for 2020. It's time. It's the final trimester of the year. And don't worry if you haven't done your financial management plan and you haven't done your brand story. It's okay, because what we can do is we can put together a plan for how to do that in 2020, right? So whatever it is you want to accomplish in 2020, the only way that's going to happen is if you plan and then you execute, you take some action on that plan, and you do that in a consistent way with discipline. And we're going to show you how to do that in this webinar. It's free. Just register right now for the free webinar, Planning for Small Firm Architects, at entrearchitect.com/free webinar. Go do that right now. My name is Mark R. LePage, and you are listening to Entree Architect Podcast. I want you to build a better business so you can be a better architect. Love, learn, share. Have a great week.
From historic homes to modern architecture, brick is one of the most popular building materials around the world.
How to allow the house to bridge the gap between the history of the site, the approachability of this kind of architecture in this kind of neighborhood, and the sort of nostalgia of materiality for the client's past, right? And brick really started to provide an answer for that.
Hi, I'm Doug Pat, and this is Design Vault. There aren't many materials that easily blend with any style and context, but brick does just that. I've seen some extraordinary work with brick. So when Glengarry approached me about hosting this podcast, I couldn't say no.
Typically, Tudor-style houses from outside are just stunningly gorgeous piece of structure. And when you go in, it's just sad.
Yeah.
Dark. And that is not going to happen with my approach to design.
I speak with industry leaders and share inspiring stories behind their work and ingenious design.
You'll see brick that's fashioned into basket weave patterns, sawtooth patterns, what's known in England as diapering.
Doesn't sound like you knew them per se, right? They found you through relationships that you had with other.
Well, wait, Doug, there's more.
Okay.
We'll go behind the scenes to understand process and even the inspiration that sparked the design.
You know, I think we were inspired by all the factory buildings in Dumbo. I mean, that is the kind of period of significance, that early American factory building.
Design Vault by Glengarry. Visit glengarry.com/design-vault or search for Design Vault wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe now to stretch your imagination.
Attention architects and creative minds, get ready to supercharge your brand with Build Your Brand, the podcast that's unlocking the secrets of branding success for creatives. Hey there, it's Mark R. LePage, founder of Entree Architect, and I'm inviting you to join my friend, architect marketing expert, Jeff Eccles at Build Your Brand podcast, where he explores the captivating stories of the world's top brands and transforms their lessons into powerful moves for small firm architects and creatives like you. In season one, Jeff shares the thrilling tale of Southwest Airlines, where he dissects their journey to the summit and distills it into strategies tailor-made for you.
It's important to keep in mind that companies like Southwest compete in the real world, just like you, and face real-world challenges, just like you. You might be surprised at how similar those challenges are to the struggles that you grapple with on a day-to-day basis.
Don't miss out on your blueprint for success. Subscribe, tune in, and let's build your brand together.
You may have noticed that the very best brands in the world are also known for having somewhat unique corporate cultures. That's often the glue that holds everything together when they encounter those rough spots.
We don't do it because it inconveniences the passengers to whom we are primarily dedicated, the short haul, frequent flyer.
follow the link in the show notes to subscribe to Build Your Brand today. Remember, no matter the size, the journey's the same. Your brand's journey to the top starts here.